A new series in the book of Jonah and the story of Jonah the prophet. And the series is about kind of seeing some lessons in discipleship, lessons of how we can be followers of Jesus through the lens of the life of Jonah. And Jonah, I said last week, and you can see from his story, was probably one of God's most reluctant prophets. He was a guy who heard the call of God and really didn't want to go. But through his life, we see some incredible lessons come out. And how we're looking at discipleship through this series is sort of through a growing sense of four different areas in our life. And those areas are spiritual intimacy, which we talked about last week, how we actually connect with God and seeing that relationship grow, sometimes through some incredibly difficult circumstances God puts us into. Our previous series talked all about character, so we're not really getting into that one in the series about Jonah, but this is a piece of how we grow as disciples, is seeing God grow our character through the sanctification that he puts us through by the Holy Spirit changing us. The third piece is community. We're talking about that next week. We're going to be talking all about community. But today, we want to focus on the area of service and seeing how, as we grow in service, we actually grow in our walk with God, and how God uses this in our life to bring about change and to really grow us into the people he wants us to be. Now, let's just give a quick recap of the story where we were last week. God called Jonah. You might remember that's how it started off. Jonah ran away. And as we talked about last week, not only did he kind of run a little bit away, but Jonah went to basically in the opposite direction. He was heading to the furthest point of the known world away from where he was supposed to be. So you can kind of think of being called to go to, you know, somewhere in eastern Canada and you head to Australia, okay? He was in the opposite direction is where he was off to. Now, God pursued Jonah, got a hold of his heart, and in a pretty unique way, got him thrown overboard, rescued him with a fish, crazy story. Then Jonah has this interaction with God, and then he gets back on the right track. So now, as we come to the story today, Jonah is being asked to again go and serve God in the way that God asked him to in the first place. And we're going to see what Jonah does with that and learn some lessons in serving from Jonah's experience. Because this is, you know, if I was to do just a regular message and I was to think about what I wanted to talk about when it comes to serving, this would probably not be the message that I would want to preach. Because Jonah wasn't what we would call just a great, faithful, happy servant. Anyways, you'll see what I'm talking about. So let's just take a moment and pray, and then we're going to dive into our story today. Father, we give you thanks for your word to us. And Lord, thank you that you don't exclude people from your word whose lives were messy. God, because our lives are messy, and I think sometimes we identify with them a lot better. So thank you for including the story of Jonah in your word for us. Thank you for the things you teach us through it about our own lives. And I pray, Lord, that today you would use your word to speak to us. Lord, and that you, by your Spirit, would open up our eyes to see what we need to see in your text, in the word that you've given to us, that you would open up our ears, take away the blocks and the barriers so we will be able to hear your Spirit speaking to us today. And God, open up our hearts that we'd be ready to be responsive to you in whatever it is you're asking of us today. Lord, we just ask for your words to be spoken here instead of mine, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you have your Bibles here, if you have it on your phone, you can flip to it. Jonah chapter 3, if you don't have no idea where Jonah is, use the table of contents. It's easier than trying to explain where it is. Jonah chapter 3, and we're going to start by reading verses 1 to 4, and we'll have it on the screen here too. So then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. So Jonah obeys, but I think it's safe to say he wasn't super excited about obeying, and we'll pick up a little bit on that next week. But we may want to ask why it was that Jonah ran away in the first place. Now, I gave you a little taste of that last week, but I promised that we'd talk a little bit more about it today to try and get a sense of what was it? What was it that was driving Jonah not just to hide out where he was living, but to actually try and go the opposite direction? What was so big for him that he just had no desire to go anywhere near Nineveh when God asked him to? Well, you may remember last week I mentioned that Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. And Assyria was a territory that was always at war with Israel. They were kind of always these foes kind of going back and forth. And in fact, shortly after this time of Jonah was when Assyria came and conquered Israel and pulled them into exile and sent other people to live in the territory of Israel. So there's a sense in which they're always at odds with one another. So Jonah's not really keen on going to a people that is his enemy to proclaim the message of the Lord to. Although, you know, the idea that God gives messages to people that weren't his own happened all the way through the prophets. We see that over and over. But Jonah really didn't want to go to the enemy and proclaim the message of God to them. Now, you can understand why, maybe, because he's going into the territory saying, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's a popular message. Hey, guys, in 40 days, Prince George will be wiped out. Yay! Right? Just, it's not popular. It's not something they're going to want to hear, and especially from an Israelite prophet who's coming into their territory. Now, what you got to understand about the Ninevites is they weren't just nice people who would kind of look at him and go, ah, he's a flake. Let's just kick him out and call it a day. These people were brutal. And in fact, we read an account of the Ninevites in another prophet's record for us. Nahum the prophet speaks about the Ninevites just before God gives him a prophecy against them. But this is what it says about the Ninevites. Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. The crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses and jolting chariots, charging cavalry, flashing swords and glittering spears. Many casualties, piles of dead, bodies without number, people stumbling over the corpses, all because of the wanton lust of a prostitute, alluring the mistress of sorceries, who enslaved nations by her prostitution and peoples by her witchcraft. This was an awful place. And the people there were brutal. And we know this not just from the biblical account, but from other accounts through history. There's actually a lot of archaeology that's been able to be brought up from Nineveh. There's a lot of Nineveh that's actually still standing today. And so there's a lot of archaeology that's happened there, and they've seen some incredible carvings. And I just want to show you a couple of them today just to give you a sense of what this looked like with these people. So this is a picture of Ninevite people bashing in the skulls of their victims. Okay? This next one here is the Ninevites dismembering people and then impaling them through the crotch on a pole. And then on the right-hand side of this is decorating their city with their skulls. How are we doing so far? You guys good? That's why we dismissed the kids first. Thanks for that, Don. This one is another picture of impaling them, impaling their victims. This time, though, through the chest instead of through the crotch. And this final one here is the Ninevites skinning people alive. So why do you think an Israelite prophet with a message that the city is going to be destroyed, didn't want to go to Nineveh? In all likelihood, Jonah was terrified for his life. Maybe he was wondering if they would develop some new form of torture so they could have a new carving dedicated just to him. I think Jonah was scared. This call of God was huge, and he was putting him into harm's way, and Jonah didn't want to go. It's part of the reason he was reticent to go and why he ran in the opposite direction. But I don't think that was all. And if we're to believe Jonah at his word, in the next chapter he talks about this. There's another piece to this. When you think about Assyria being a foe of Israel, like kind of just being always at war with them, and you think about the brutality of the Ninevites, I think Jonah wanted to see justice more than he wanted to see the Ninevites have a chance. And he actually says later on, when God's confronting him about his attitude, Jonah actually says, God, I was afraid that you would show them grace. If Jonah brings the message of God, then there's an opportunity and a possibility that the Ninevites could repent and God would show mercy. And Jonah doesn't want that to happen. Jonah wants to see them get their due. He wants to see them be utterly destroyed. He wants to see this prophecy come true. 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That would be great. Because then all these awful people are going to be wiped out. Wouldn't that be fantastic? No more Ninevites to skin people alive. This would be a great thing. Jonah wanted to see justice, and he was worried that if he proclaimed the word of God, God might actually show mercy to this city. So not only, I think he was partly terrified to go, but he also didn't want to see God do something good in this place. He wanted to see these people wiped out. And that kind of brings us to our first principle about service today. One of the lessons we can take away from Jonah's life is he was called by God to go. And that is that serving can be hard. I think, oftentimes the message I would love to preach about this would have to do with how much of a blessing it is to serve, how much joy you find in serving, how much it's great about bringing community together and getting to know people and getting to do something together that's fun and actually it makes a difference. It's so great. Serving is a wonderful thing to do. But the reality is that serving God can be incredibly difficult. Serving God can be costly. Serving God can mean going into places we have no desire to go. Going to serve people that we think are total idiots and should have horrible things happen to them for what they've done. Serving God might call us into something that's incredibly uncomfortable. And yet, that's who we are. See, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, of which Lakewood Alliance is a part, it's our family of churches. This is our DNA. When A.B. Simpson started this whole movement, it was founded on two principles, the deeper life in Christ and world mission. And when people felt the call of God to go on mission in those days, most times they left and never came back. It wasn't this nice thing where, they could communicate by Facebook or, they could send updates by email to let everyone know how things are going and they can get, give prayer reports. They would go maybe with a trunk of clothes and that was it and boarded a ship and off they went. Some died in transit. Some died when they got there. Some died at the hands of the people they were going to serve. But they went because they felt strongly that God had called them to go. And sometimes I complain because service doesn't fit my schedule. Serving God does not mean an easy path or a path that's just lighthearted and, it's fun. It can be. It can be incredibly joy-filled. And there's amazing things that we can experience in serving God. But we need to understand, too, the reality that sometimes serving is hard. Now for you, maybe, and for me, maybe we're not going to face death or dismemberment if we choose to obey whatever God's calling us to do. If you take on kids ministry downstairs, I promise you we're not planning to hook up your body to any strange things to stretch you out, okay? It's not what we're looking at doing. But it can be uncomfortable. Serving God can put us in places of discomfort. But here's the thing. I think that's sort of the point. Because when we get in uncomfortable places, that's often when we're the most moldable by the hand of God. When we feel like we are out of control and we can't fix this ourselves, that's when sometimes we're the most open to call out to Him and ask for His help and allow Him to move in our life. And I think service and difficulty in service is one of the tools that God actually uses to shape us and to knock some of the nasty corners off of our life and allow us to be more of who He's made us to be. Service is hard. It can be very hard. But it's something that God's using to shape who we are, which is why it's one of the areas of discipleship, that as we grow in service, we're going to grow as a follower of Jesus. We're going to grow as a human being. But service is not always easy. And so sometimes, because the call of God to serve is hard, sometimes we run away like Jonah. We come up with all sorts of spiritual reasons, though, right? I prayed about it, didn't feel like it was my call. I did that for a lot of years already. I've kind of done my part time for someone else to take over. Sorry, it doesn't fit with my schedule. I got too many things going on right now. We have all sorts of ways of avoiding, and I'm not saying that you have to listen to Dave and what Dave is asking you to do. What I am saying is when we try and put off the call of God, and the things God is asking us to do, we're going to start running ourselves into some trouble. Maybe God has a plan for you, and that's why he's calling you to something, even if it doesn't fit well right now. But the thing is, when we choose to obey, if we choose to actually pay attention to the call of God and listen and follow it, even if it's hard, man, some amazing things can happen. And that's the other thing we see in the story of Jonah. Service can be very surprising in the impact it can have. And this is what it says in verse 5, right after what we just read. The Ninevites believed God. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed, and the Ninevites believed God. This pagan people, this people of all these traditions of doing awful things to other people, they chose to believe God in this moment. That's a little surprising. Like, seriously, do you think Jonah saw that coming? I mean, he was worried about the grace of God, but do you think he actually thought the Ninevites would believe? Or was he just expecting he was going to be skewered on a pole? Have you ever been surprised by what God did? Have you ever thought, you know, if I go and do this, really it's going to have very little impact. It's not really actually going to accomplish anything. I mean, maybe I'll go do it, but I don't expect anything to happen. I know I have. I have had very low expectations of God many times in my life. There have been times where I have not expected God to move when I've prayed. There have been times that I have not expected God to move when I've shared something with someone. Sometimes my picture of God is that God fits into a very small box. And so when I see an example of his grace and somebody actually rising to the occasion of what God gives them an opportunity for, man, it can be incredibly surprising. And maybe you've been in that place where you don't think the little thing or the big thing that God's calling you to do is going to make any difference in anybody's life. Well, let me just say that I think sometimes God can surprise us in those moments. And in fact, maybe God is calling you and he's calling me into those places of service for such a time as this because he is on the move already there. We don't necessarily know what he's up to, but he's doing something and he's calling us to come alongside because he has a plan that he wants us to be a part of. Jesus said, "I will build my church." That's the vision statement we've taken on as our church for this 5-year stretch. I will build my church because Jesus actually is going to build his church as the vessel to communicate his grace and love to our world. So he's going to do this. He is going to do this. This is not something that's sort of a, well, maybe it's going to happen. Well, maybe he'll build his church. Well, maybe he's going to do this in order to share this with the world. He is doing this. We, the church, are his chosen vessel to communicate his love to the world. And the kingdom of God to the world. That is who we are, and he will build it. So, why would we think God is not on the move? Why do I think that God is not on the move? When we're called to service and we choose to obey, sometimes we can be surprised by the impact that we can have. You never know the difference what you do can make in someone's life. And it can be a whole lot bigger than what you expect. I think Jonah was incredibly surprised by what happened with the Ninevites, that the Ninevites actually believed what God had said through Jonah. I don't think he saw that one coming. And we see what happened with the Ninevites when they said that when they actually chose to believe, because it wasn't just sort of a, wow, I think you're right. It was that they actually changed what they were doing. And we keep reading that in verse 5. So the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. A couple things to notice in there. The way the city chooses to repent. You know, it's interesting. I mean, they do the activity of putting on sackcloth, declaring a fast, so they're denying themselves and changing their garb to show their repentance before God. But did you notice that they didn't actually need to be told what they had done wrong? There's no account that Jonah said, "Now here, let me give you a list of sins as to why your city's going to be destroyed in 40 days." They already knew. They knew full well what their sin was. They didn't need to be told and convicted by Jonah. They knew what it was. God's conviction was already upon them. They just needed the motivation to actually choose to repent. The Holy Spirit does a much better job than we do of convicting people of sin and righteousness. In fact, the Bible says that's what he does. So that's one thing. They didn't need to be told, but it's also this cool grassroots revival that happens in Nineveh, right? Like Jonah's out there, it's a 3-day walk into the city, so he's out there walking through the streets, proclaiming this message. People are repenting, they're fasting, they're putting on sackcloth, and finally when Jonah's words reach the king, then he does too, but it's already begun this groundswell of movement and repentance all through the city. Then the king gets a hold of this, he repents, issues a decree so everybody else will be caught in this as well and make sure nobody misses it. But it's this amazing movement. It doesn't have to start right at the top with the king. It starts with the people who just get this sense that, man, we need to repent before God. We need to respond to his word. We're going to believe what he's saying. And they do. And it starts this incredible revival. And the whole city, through this, is impacted. The whole city responds to what God is doing. So when you think about the surprising impact that service can have, the thing that happened when Jonah actually obeyed God and went and did what he asked. God gave Jonah an opportunity to be a part of what he was doing. He gave him an opportunity to be a part of an incredible blessing of seeing an entire city turn from their wickedness and repent to be right with God. Not just, you know, a person or a household, a city. When we choose to obey God's call to serve in the way that he's asking us to serve, we have an opportunity to join him in what he's doing and experience an incredible blessing. But if we don't, we may never know the impact we would have had, and we will miss out on the blessing that he had for us. Now, so there's an incredible surprising impact it has with the city. But there's one more piece of the story I want to pick up for you just before we leave off this chapter. And it's what happens in verse 10. Because this is amazing. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. God's response to what the Ninevites did was to show grace. God's response to their repentance was grace. But I love how the king approached this when he gave his decree. Did you notice it? I'm going to back up a slide. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. The king didn't assume grace. Right? He didn't presume or try and think that he could manipulate God into showing grace because of what they had done. Who knows? Maybe God will in his great compassion, but ultimately, he's God, I'm not. I'm not in charge. He gets to choose if he's going to show grace or not. He didn't try and think this was in some way going to manipulate God. This was throwing himself at the feet of God and asking for mercy. And God showed mercy. So what might God do when we choose to obey his call in our life? What might God do in our city, in our workplace, in our schools? What might God do in our families, in our homes, when we choose to obey in the places he's calling us to serve? What might God do in building his church to be this light to our city if we choose to obey what he's asking us to do? What might God do? We may be surprised by the impact the little thing that we choose to do will have. But let me ask you this morning, where is God calling you to serve? See, part of being a disciple of Jesus, part of being one of his followers, is that we're actually involved in making disciples of others, helping others to grow in what it means to understand who Jesus is, what the kingdom of God's all about, helping them to learn to obey what Jesus has commanded us to do. We're a part of that work. That's just who we are. So if you are a follower of Jesus, that's automatic. Now, how that plays out and what particular part of that that God has for you, that's a little more specific maybe to you. But we're all involved in this, so we're all involved in service. We're all called to it. There's not sort of a, well, those people do all the service and I just get to come and hang out. It's not how it is in the kingdom of God. We all serve one another. And so how is God calling you uniquely to serve? And I want you to think about this maybe in two ways. How is God calling you to serve within the body of the church, but also outside the church? How is God actually calling you to serve in both of those places? Within the church, he calls us to serve one another and to love one another. We're supposed to care for one another, build one another up. We're supposed to do all these things with one another. What's he called you to do to be a part of that? Now, one thing we wanted to give you today, which you received in your handout, which some of you might have been reading during the message, which is fine. No judgment. I've been watching your eyes. It's okay. We'll talk later. It's okay. It's better than the sleepers. We won't talk about them. No, I'm just kidding. Just totally kidding. So you have this booklet in your handout. Man, rabbit trails today. This booklet is all about ways that you can serve here at Lakewood in a way of serving one another. So there are all kinds of things in here for any kind of different person and any kind of different way that you're wired. I mean, if you like techno stuff, there's like technology stuff that we want to see if we can get up running with the media team and stuff to do with our Sunday morning worship services and stuff online. I mean, if you are more of a hospitality type person, there's food prep stuff, there's welcoming stuff, there's event kind of stuff just to make people feel welcome. If you're someone who's really looking outside and how we can be engaged in our schools and local community, there's stuff under extension ministries for you. There is all kinds of stuff in here, and some great stories and some great memes and jokes and fun stuff too. Anyways, so read it. See where it is that maybe God's calling you to serve, and maybe you've been serving in one place and you feel there's a pull to something else, then let us know. Let's help you get connected and make a connection in serving. So this is, definitely take some time and read through this and see where it is that God might have you to fit. And now in here as well, something you need to know, is there are contact names and emails and phone numbers. And so if you find something that you go, you know, I think I might be being drawn to this, but I'd like to know more, call or contact the person on there and just say, I'd love to know more about what this is. And they would be happy to talk to you. Okay? So, there you go. Ways to serve within. And you know, this whole idea of, you know, where is God calling you to serve? Sometimes we have to actually try a few things out and listen and see what God's doing before we actually have a great sense of what it is. Sometimes he directs our steps when we actually start walking, okay? So, there you go. But also, maybe God's calling you to serve outside of this place, too. And maybe there's opportunities in your community, in your school, in your family, where he's just asking you to be willing to share your story or just to love on someone or take care of their needs. God's calling each one of us to serve us both within but also without so that we can be a light to our world. And sometimes maybe we won't see the value or the impact immediately. Maybe we're never in our lifetime going to know the full impact of what it was that God asked us to do. Maybe it's going to be something that's going to happen a generation past us and we're just not going to see it. Maybe service is going to seem really, really hard in that thing that God is asking you to do. And you're going to think, man, why doesn't anyone else get this one? Why is it me? Like, can't someone else get this hard call and I can do something easy? But I want to invite you today to take a step. Just a step. A step into obedience in the direction God's calling you to serve. Maybe it won't be the whole thing right away. Maybe you're not going to be totally in with whatever it is he wants you to do. Maybe it's a process he's going to walk you through, but take a step of obedience with God. Because when our obedience meets God's grace, amazing things can happen. Amazing things can happen. I want to close off with just a quick recounting of a story that I'm not going to share the whole thing of, but it's in your ministry catalog on page 4. Don't turn there now, please. But you can read it later. I had never heard the name Ed Kimball before. Anyone else? Anyone know the name Ed Kimball? That ring a bell? How about the name Dwight D. L. Moody? Dwight L. Moody. Anyone ever hear Dwight L. Moody? Anyone hear Billy Graham? Did you know that Billy Graham coming to faith and becoming an evangelist was directly related to Ed Kimball? He was a man who didn't want to be a Sunday school teacher and obeyed the call of God to become a Sunday school teacher and eventually shared Christ with a young punk by the name of Dwight L. Moody, who through history, and you see through generations and guys sharing with one another, eventually leads to Billy Graham. It's an amazing story of the impact that we can have just by maybe showing up on a Sunday morning regularly to minister to kids, because who knows where they're going to end up. We have no idea the impact we are going to have if we decide to meet God in obedience. And it may be something that doesn't just last for our generation, but for generations to come, because God's got a plan. So take a step today. Allow your obedience to meet God's grace and watch what he's going to do.